This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Everyone, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. A lot to discuss. We talked a lot in the first hour about Russia and Ukraine and everything that is happening in regards to foreign policy right now and how our president is not really helping matters. He seems to be making things a lot worse. That's just my perspective. And I did want to read this old tweet from Joe before we move on. This is February of 2020. So almost 2 years ago. And listen to what Joe Biden had to say. Now, Joe, we always say this. Joe is like a Barbie or a G.I. Joe. You know, he has all different personalities depending on the day. This was tough guy Joe. This was...
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
This was, I'm not afraid to take you out behind the gym, behind the shed, Joe. He said, Vladimir Putin doesn't want me to be president. He doesn't want me to be our nominee. If you're wondering why, it's because I'm the only person in this field who's ever gone toe-to-toe with him. Can we get a fact check on that? Is this what it looks like, going toe-to-toe with Putin? Just asking the question. That's all. Now, something else I did want to discuss here is over the weekend, there was all these polls that came out that were really damaging for Joe Biden. And you saw the mainstream media kind of melting down about it. And the strangest part was admitting it. At this point, people like Chuck Todd or Margaret Brennan or Brian Stelter or whoever it may be in the mainstream media, just them facing reality, even if it's for a few short minutes on a...
There's no time for potato heads.
On a short segment of their show that no one really watches. It still amazes me. It's still worth playing. And they're kind of coming to the reality here that they're coming around to it, that they're going... The Democrats are going to get pulverized in the midterms. Doesn't that sound so good? Do you guys want me to repeat that as a Monday pick-me-up? Yeah, I know. If you've got a case in the Mondays, here we go. More likely than not, the Democrats will be pulverized in the midterms. And how deserved is it? Like, no other group of politicians deserves to have such a rebuke from their constituents than the Democrats after the last 10 months of what we've been seeing. And let's take a listen to, I thought the most jarring one, and I have a couple different ones here, but I thought the funniest one to watch was Chuck Todd. Because Chuck Todd, you know, he has been hanging on there for a long time. I remember after Joe Biden's presser, I was watching it on YouTube, and it must have been from an NBC feed, and it went right into Chuck Todd's show. And he was like, you know, I really think Biden should do more of these. I mean, I have such a better understanding of, you know, what he's thinking and you know, what's going on in his mind. And I thought, yeah, you know what? Joe should take his advice from Chuck Todd. Joe should do more of these. Just like Democrats should keep telling parents that they have no right or no say in their child's education. Just like AOC should keep telling people that the crime in New York City is, you know, it's the right is just weaponizing it and seizing on it and causing a hysteria. Keep going in this direction. This is working for you. So let's take a listen to Chuck Todd and his take on Joe Biden's presidency. Cut one, please.
President Biden's news conference on Wednesday was designed to kick off a second year reset of his presidency. Cap recapture his political identity, if you will. But our new NBC News poll suggests Mr. Biden does need a reset because he's lost his identity a bit. He's no longer seen as competent and effective. He's no longer seen as a good commander-in-chief, or perhaps most damaging, as easygoing and likable. In fact, just 5% of adults say Mr. Biden has performed better than expected as president. One of the many firsts.
We're going to have to break this piece up a little bit because I have several things to say. One is that some of us never saw him as any of those things. And I want to give a shout out to all the people out there who are saying, I never thought he was competent. I never thought he was kind or easygoing or likable. And two, and more importantly, can we get a wellness check on the 5% of people who think he's doing better than expected? I know he's one of the people. He thought he's done a remarkable job. He's outperformed or overperformed what people thought. Besides, and this does not make, this could not make up the 5% of the poll, but here's who I think would agree with that. Tony Blinken, Joe Biden, maybe Kamala Harris, if they caught her on a good day. She would say Joe Biden's done a good job. But I think if you really caught her, you know, before she's recording those NASA movies with the child, the paid child actors, I think she would say probably not. Jen Psaki and Jennifer Rubin, of course, and Ron Klain. Jennifer Rubin, Ron Klain, Joy Reid. Besides that, Jared, who is saying, do you know anyone who would say Joe Biden is doing better than they expected?
Just the Beltway hacks drinking down their Saki Ritas over the weekend.
Kickboxing class.
Going to kickboxing class.
If you are at home and you're saying to yourself, this is, not only is this going as good as I expected, but it's going better than I expected, then please call.
Stop it. Get some help.
You need help. You need help. Reach out. This isn't right. Okay, so let's take it from there where he says, you know, well, we can just play the whole thing over if you want. This is Chuck Todd, by the way.
Seen as a good commander-in-chief, or perhaps most damaging, as easygoing and likable. In fact, just 5% of adults say Mr. Biden has performed better than expected as president. One of the many lowest firsts and fewests in our poll.
I like that. Lowest, firsts, and fewest.
And the fact that he said the worst part of all this is that Joe's just not likable anymore. It's like, it shows you clearly the only thing they had was he's not the mean tweet orange guy.
He's grandpa.
Yeah.
He's a whispering, sweet grandpa with his face in the ice cream bowl who's got a dog that he's going for that dog's tail. He might fall down. Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, Jared, because I am firmly on the side of I don't care if someone's likable. I think that is, especially a president, I think that is an issue that is rooted in the wokeification and just the sugarcoating nature of America right now, where everything has to make you feel good and everybody has to be nice and everybody has to be, you know, someone that you'd want to hang out with and be your best friend. No, a lot of people don't care because I would rather someone who's not easygoing, who maybe I wouldn't want to share a beer with, because that used to be the old standard back in the day of, you know, picking your presidential candidates, but who wouldn't get us into a war, or who wouldn't cause inflation to rise by 7%, or who would maybe protect our border. I'm not even that worried. I'm not as worried about the border on the Ukraine as maybe I should be if I was a nice person like Chuck Todd. I'm more worried about our southern border. And I would like a president who could handle that.
I like a president who doesn't have our allies falling off of planes while he's tucking tail and running out of a country poorly.
That was like 5 days ago, Jared.
My bad. I know. I'm the worst. I just can't. I just can't be smart. I get it.
Yeah, you and your three squares a day. Man, you got to get out of that cycle.
I'm at the kitchen table all the time. I just can't break it. I don't know why.
Sometimes Jared will come into work and he'll say to me, I was staring at the ceiling fan all last night. And I'll say, Jared, enough. Just enough. All right, let's play cut two.
The president's job approval rating sitting at 43%. If you look at history shows that kind of presidential approval rating leads to a shellacking for the party in power. How about the mood of the nation? Well, let me show you this right now. Our wrong track, nation's on the wrong track number, sitting at 72%. Second poll in a row where we've been over 70%. This is only the third time in our poll's history over 30 years where we've had two tracks that were that off. That, again, would put you in shellacking territory for the party in power.
You know what? With all those polls numbers coming out and he's breaking all these records, I'm going to tell everyone you can take your masks off today. You know why? It's a historic day. We haven't seen these numbers in a long time. By the way, great word by Chuck Todd. I'm tipping my hat to him. As someone who's in the news biz, shellacking is the perfect way to describe it. And I hope he's not jinxing us. I hope that this isn't something that...
Oh, no, he's firing a warning shot that it's looking bad so they can start their voting shenanigans now.
Oh, yeah, you can start questioning elections. That's cool again. By the way, speaking of that, we will get into that. Molly Hemingway put it so perfectly about how ridiculous it is that now liberals are going to start questioning elections again, which we were told... when Trump was doing it, was the worst thing ever. It was unpatriotic. It led to the Capitol riots. It was dangerous. And
terrorism.
Now, oh, yeah. And now, Jared, it's back. Now there's nothing to worry about. And we will get to that as well. Let's take one call here before we go to the break. John, you're next. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. I in many ways think that Joe is doing better than expected. I did not think he would even last this long. He's lasted a full year. They haven't kicked him out. He was able to walk under his own steam to the podium and speak incoherently, yes, but actually speak. I thought by now they would have wheeled him away with a bowl of tapioca pudding, you know, drooling. And he still, you know, it's better than I thought he would be doing.
So you're part of the 5%, John. And what John's trying to explain to us is the 5% are people who are impressed that he's coming out with his clothes on, that he put his clothes on.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
Jared, how dare you? God, it's Monday. Yikes. I get what you're saying, John. And I just want to say this, just, you know, you guys know how sensitive I am to all this stuff. But I do think it's very sad. I don't mean to make fun of the fact that this guy's in a very rapid decline. I do find parts of it to be heartbreaking, and sometimes I even feel bad for him. But the person who should feel the worst about this is Jill Biden, is his family who's allowed this to happen, and really the mainstream media. If they had any decency, they would have pointed this out at the beginning. This guy is... This guy is not meant to be in this position. He cannot handle it. He is not fit. And shame on everyone who pulled the wool over gullible Americans' eyes and convinced them that this guy could do this. He cannot. And I do feel bad for him a lot of the time, as much as we joke around about it. The fact that he is out there clearly not able to form complete sentences and figure this out is sad. 844-500-4242. We'll keep taking your calls. I love that you guys want to weigh in on this. We have more sound from Face the Nation, from Chuck Todd, a little bit from Bill Maher. I know, it's a weird world we live in where now I'm agreeing with Bill Maher, but it's happening more and more often. If you've ever craved a great glass of red wine, you know that sometimes you look at that glass and you're like, I would love a delicious cab or a Malbec with my steak, but I don't want to feel like crap tomorrow. So you got to kind of weigh it. You know, how much do you want the wine versus do you want to feel not your best the next day? Well, now you don't have to weigh that, because although many wines are chemically processed to extend their shelf life, there's Bonner Private Wines Partnership, and they have exactly what you need. It's time to skip the middleman and taste hand-picked grapes the wine is just so delicious. And from your first sip, you can just taste the freshness. The best part is, after I had this glass of wine, maybe two, I slept like a baby. I didn't wake up the next morning feeling groggy, no morning regrets. The Bonner Private Wines Partnership is no ordinary wine club. They don't sell leftover bulk wine and then just slap a fancy label on it. They search the globe to ensure quality. Bonner seeks honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration and additives, only to add an inflated price. Bonner wants every pop of the cork to be an adventure, to savor and enjoy. I really love these wines, and anyone who's listened to my show or to Howie's show over the last couple of years knows that I do love wine, so you can trust me on this. Join the Bonner Private Wines partnership and have it delivered directly to your home. Your adventure awaits at Bonner. Go to B-O-N-N-E-R privatewines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. We'll be right back with your calls. It's 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We have been discussing how the poll numbers... Well, the poll numbers have been bad for a very long time, but the combination of the poll numbers and another foreign policy disaster that looks like it's going to play out in the upcoming weeks is really making it hard for the mainstream media to ignore just how bad Joe Biden is doing. But here's another point.
Polls indicate aren't happy with the way you're doing your job now.
I don't believe the polls.
Well, that's convenient for you because... You wouldn't believe how bad they are, I can tell you that. But it's interesting because one of the last callers just said, you know, I do think Joe Biden is outperforming what people thought because, you know, he's able to walk out to the podium and speak, even if it's incoherent. And I just got a text from a friend who said, and I think this is the key. What the last caller was pointing out is that no one thought Joe Biden would even still be president at this point. They thought they would have moved him out. So it's not as much that Joe Biden's outperforming what we thought, it's that Kamala Harris is underperforming what anyone could have imagined. Because think about it, Jared. If Kamala wasn't worse than Joe at this little thing called politics, they would have ushered him out at this point and brought her in. But she is so bad at all of this that's not an option. And that puts them in a real bind. And I saw a cut where she had the mask on, which doesn't make sense because usually you're at the podium or you're taking questions, you're allowed to take the mask off, a la Jen Psaki. But she still had the mask on. And I kind of thought, maybe they're having her keep the mask on now so that if she does break out into a big smile, like that Cheshire grin she gets when she's answering questions about Afghanistan or kids in cages, that at least the mask will block that. Because the timing of when she wears it and when she doesn't make any sense. But it's not just the mainstream media that's finally admitting how bad Joe Biden's doing. It's also a lot of liberals are starting to come around to this idea that, you know, we need an exit ramp for COVID. And that brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. You can probably tell by the market today that you want to invest in something you can count on. You can trust the team at Gold Co. to help protect and grow your wealth. So go to goldco.com/grace to request your free protecting your wealth kit that uncovers the secrets your financial advisor won't tell you. That's goldco.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do liberals suddenly questioning the pandemic response deserve praise? Yes, welcome aboard, or no, where were you years ago?
No, where were you years ago?
87% agree. No, where were you years ago?
And I know the example that people are using right now. I read an article about it where someone was, you know, tearing apart Barry Weiss for joining. But I actually think, even though Barry Weiss was described in an article I read as an uber progressive, she has been very anti-cancel culture and anti-wokeness and very awake to what's happening with COVID and masks for quite some time. I don't think she's the perfect example of one of these liberals. I think of more of like Jon Stewart when he came out and said, oh, maybe the virus started at the Wuhan lab. And everyone was like, oh, he's so funny and brave. And no, you're not. You're not funny and you're not brave. I think before we give anyone praise, and I'm all about welcoming people in. If you want to find an exit ramp, there's now governors, we'll get to that in the next segment, who are trying to find exit ramps. We welcome you. Because better late than never. But what do I always say? Better late than never, but you can acknowledge that you're late. And we're going to talk about the apologies that some Americans deserve when we come back. It's 844-500-4242. Feel free to weigh in. We'll be right back with more sound and more to talk about. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Everyone, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, I wrote this over the weekend. It got pretty good response from people. I'm sure there was a lot of hateful comments. I haven't done my research for Hate Mail Monday later on Howie's show. So I'm just going to go with the good stuff. But people seem to enjoy the fact that I was calling for an apology tour from Joe Biden. Unlike Obama's apology tour, this would not be to other countries apologizing for America and all of our racist, xenophobic ways. This would be to the people in this country who were told time and time again that they were conspiracy theorists, that they were grandma killers, that they were boomer rubes, that they were just wrong on everything, and that they couldn't voice their opinion. They couldn't ask questions. To ask questions was to question the science, to question Dr. Fauci, and it was unforgivable. It was a sign of a moral failing if you dared ask any questions. And it's not just Joe Biden who should be issuing these apologies. It's also Dr. Fauci. It's all of the bureaucrats who got drunk with power over the last 2 years. And there's a few specific groups I call out who deserve apologies. Number one being the children in this country and in a lot of other countries as well. But if we're going to talk about our leaders and the people who made these ridiculous rules, they should be apologizing to the American children who are going to be dealing with this for the rest of their lives. They've lost 2 years in education. They've lost countless social interactions. And they were robbed. They were robbed of important experiences and memories. And Bari Weiss was on with Bill Maher, and she was discussing this. And the interesting thing about Bari Weiss is she describes herself in this clip as someone who really bought into COVID at the beginning. And again, I mention this a lot. I'm not saying that people did not die. I'm not saying that it's not serious if you have comorbidities. But for young, healthy people, a lot of us came to realize that we were actually going to be okay and that this panic that was pushed from the media was not translating into real life. So let's listen to Bari Weiss as she talks to Bill Maher about this. This is cut 8.
No, I'm done with COVID. Oh, I'm done. It's yeah. I went so hard on COVID.
I remember.
Sprayed the Pringles cans that I bought at the grocery store, stripped my clothes off because I thought COVID would be on my clothes. Like, I did it all. I watched Tiger King. I got to the end of Spotify. Like, we all did it, right?
And, no, we didn't all do it.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of us did do it. And then we were told, you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and you get back to normal. And we haven't gotten back to normal. And it's ridiculous at this point.
I appreciate Bill Maher saying we didn't all do it, because there are a group of people in this country who deserve an extra special round of applause for knowing from the beginning that giving in even the slightest bit was not going to end this, that getting the vaccine was not going to be the end of this, that it was always going to keep going, and that when you give up freedoms to try to get back freedoms, it doesn't really pan out in the way you'd hope. But I think Bari Weiss speaks for a huge part of our country who really thought that the experts, that the health officials, that the doctors and the scientists were just trying to help. We're just trying to save us. And I appreciate, as much as I appreciate Bill Maher telling her that, no, not everyone did believe this from the beginning or do all of these crazy things from the beginning, I also respect that she's honest about where she was at the beginning of this. And I had David Marcus on kind of in the middle of the pandemic, and he said, it's okay to extend grace to people who really were freaked out. Everyone reacts to things differently. We didn't know where this was going to go. It's okay to extend them that grace and say, all right, you didn't know. Nobody knew. It's okay. But then she goes into what this is going to do to the younger generations. And this is the part of it I really liked hearing from her. This is cut 9.
I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry, if you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant and still be asymptomatic and carrying Omicron. And you will realize, most importantly, that this is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime.
I fully back that statement. I think that I honestly, when I was writing this over the weekend, I thought, as much as Joe Biden and Dr. Fauci and the people who were really the frontiers of the lockdowns and the mitigation tactics and the plexiglass, the Charlie Bakers of the world, as much as they owe the younger generation a huge apology, I'll be honest, I think a lot of us do. I think even people who don't have kids who kind of just sat back and said, eh, you know, it'll figure itself out 6 months, 8 months. I know there's a lot of parents who feel a tremendous amount of guilt for not moving sooner or not, you know, finding a different school sooner. And this is just, you know, people I've talked to, but there are a lot of people who feel that they're partially responsible because we all kind of let this happen. That's the sad part. That's something we're all going to have to deal with. We all let this happen. And let's hear this last part. This is cut 10.
The city of Flint, Michigan, which is 80%, I think, minority students, has just announced indefinite virtual schooling. In the past 2 years, we've seen among young girls a 51% increase in self-harm. People are killing themselves. They are anxious. They are depressed. They are lonely. That is why we need to end it more than any inconvenience that it's been to the rest of us. I think it's a pandemic. It's like at this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's a pandemic of bureaucracy.
And there's two things in the last couple of clips that stood out to me. One is the fact that she mentions, if you look at the science, because that kind of ties into another group I think deserves an apology, which is the conspiracy theorists, the Rand Pauls,
science.
The Tom Cottons. Rand Paul, when he made the point that these cloth masks were theater, I believe he was taken off of YouTube. Tom Cotton, when he brought up the idea that maybe this could have originated in the Wuhan lab and not at a wet market in Wuhan, he was called fringe, dangerous. Donald Trump, who brought up the same thing, was called, you know, divisive and all these different things. So where do they go for their apology? Is anyone going to admit that they were right? No. And when the left does admit they're right, you know what they say? Because I love this tactic. When the Wuhan lab thing specifically started becoming okay to talk about, when it was deemed appropriate, the left would say, well, it turns out Trump was right, but you can't blame us for not believing him because he lied so much in the past. What were we supposed to do? It's just typical. Even when they're wrong, it's our fault that they're wrong. Everything's our fault. Everything's Trump's fault, more specifically. And then she mentions...
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Then she mentions, this is Bari Weiss, formerly of the New York Times. She mentioned Flint, Michigan, and how they're going to indefinite remote learning. And Dr. Fauci was actually asked about this on MSNBC. Can we play this cut? Cut 11, please.
So when we read headlines like the school system in Flint, Michigan has decided now to go virtual again indefinitely, does that make sense to you? Given all the tools we do have at our disposal right now, sending school kids home again, you think that's a good idea?
Well, I can't comment on any individual school district because things differ from district to district, and I think that would be unfair.
What a liar. I can comment on football games and Mother's Day and Christmas celebrations and voting and January 6th, Stephanie. But I cannot comment on a school district ruining the lives of children. That is a bridge too far for me. It is conceivable that at some point in the near future, I'll be able to comment, but not right now, obviously. What a complete hack he is. You can't
Dr.
comment
Fauci,
on that.
Give me that ouchie.
You can't comment on that, Fauci, huh? comment on everything else, but you can't comment on schools shutting down for a virus that has a tiny, tiny percentage of a chance of killing a child. I've read reports that children have more of a chance of dying in a car accident than they do of COVID. Not if you ask Sonia Sotomayor. I mean, she's getting different numbers than I'm getting. She's getting Fauci numbers. Fauci numbers are a lot scarier than regular people numbers, just so you guys know. But now, Fauci is suddenly becoming kind of less, I don't want to say less popular, but there's a shift happening here. And I think it's partially because a lot of the world is waking up. I thought that over the weekend. I said, this is like the week the world woke up. And a lot of that was due to Biden's press conference where it was just clear he had no idea what he was doing. But there was also, there was something else. There was these vaccine marches. Aaron Rodgers had this long essay about, you know, how no one who's ever asked for passports and tried to crush dissent has ever been on the right side of things in history. It was just, there was a sense that everyone was catching on to this destruction that we've witnessed over the past 2 years. And then there's a group of people. And for that, I'm like, phew, wonderful, great. Join the club. But then there's a group of people now who are politicians who are trying desperately to change their ways as they see the tide is turning. Like Boris Johnson, you know, they've been called hypocrites enough times. They realize people are very angry. And so they're trying to change their ways. Now, here's an interesting piece from the Boston Herald. Danielle Allen, who is running for governor, she's a Harvard professor. She called for exit ramp for coronavirus mask vaccine mandates. In surges, we do not need mask mandates. We don't need mask mandates permanently. The truth is our surge is coming down in Massachusetts. It's time for us to start working on how we have an off ramp, an exit ramp for the use of masks. Again, how wonderful. The 2-year delay, as far as the liberals go, never ceases to amaze. And it should anger people. I don't think. I'm a big believer in moving on from something, you know, and going forward in a positive direction. But until we get some apologies, until there's some accountability, this anger that you're seeing in this country is not going to go away. Wayne, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wayne.
Grace, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
It's a beautiful day. You know, I found this cassette my father recorded 50 or 60 years ago. It was this Harry Truman interview or monologue. He just spoke for a half hour, and oh, he was just brilliant. Also a racist. But he put a quote. He mentioned a quote, and I have it on a post-it note now. I think it applies so much to Dr. Fauci. An expert is a person that's afraid to learn anything new, because then they wouldn't be considered an expert anymore.
Now, we don't want to start questioning the experts, lest we get accused of being conspiracy theorists. Do I have this right? No, the experts have had their 15 minutes. They've had their 2 years. They've had their 15 minutes to slow the spread. It's over. It's over. No one is listening to you. No one elected you. And we still let you destroy so much of the mental health in this country. And I got to say, Jared, there's a cut that we don't have on here, but we're going to grab it. Of Stephanie Roll asking Fauci if he's ever going to leave his post. You'll never guess what he has to say. That's a tease for when we come back. What do you think he's going to say? Do you think Fauci's going to agree to leave his post? No one likes to feel out of the loop, but that's how I felt in the office when Jared and Taylor would talk about their investment apps in cryptocurrency. I was actually at brunch this weekend with a really good friend of mine, and she was talking to me and she said, oh, you know, my boyfriend and some of the guys I work with, they all are very into crypto and I want to try to get involved in it, but it freaks me out. I don't know what it means.
Now.
And I said, hey, hold on. Before you even go there, There's ways to invest and to grow your wealth that you can actually wrap your head around. They're not part of the current fads. And you can feel good about it. You can know what you're investing in. That's why I turned to Goldco, and that's why I'm suggesting it to so many of my friends. They're the leading precious metals company in the U.S., five-time Inc. 500 winning company with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of positive reviews. You can trust the team at Goldco to help you protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/grace to request your free Protecting Your Wealth kit that uncovers the secrets that your financial advisor won't tell you. And if you visit Goldco.com/grace now, Goldco will give you up to 10% in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's right, up to 10% in free silver. I've already invested in gold and silver with Goldco. I went more for the silver. They talk to you about what you're looking for, what you think will be best for you. And I ended up going more silver, but a little bit of gold. And I just know I'm in good hands. And if you want to protect and grow your wealth like I did, you can trust the experts at Goldco. They've helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect them against inflation and tax hikes. Just remember to go to goldco.com, but don't forget the /grace. It's goldco.com/grace. I see you all on the lines. We'll get right to your calls when we return. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. Cannot believe we're already wrapping up the second hour. Time flies. Let's go to the callers here. Rebecca, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Hey, Grace. I'm up here in Maine, and even after the CDC, you know, the supposed experts of what's going on, at least this is what we've all been told, that the masks really have no power against anything. They are, you know, town by town, Portland, South Portland, you know, surrounding towns are putting mask mandates back in place because, you know, you might actually get something. And, I mean, the Omicron is, you know, a terrible, terrible thing. We couldn't possibly have anybody catch a cold. And I'm not trying to, like you said earlier, I am not trying to belittle anything that happened to people that had, you know, had all of these bad versions of the COVID. But the fact is that those things are going away now. And the idea of keeping people in masks, I don't know if anybody's seen the one where somebody's vaping and then they blow through and
yes.
All of the smoke goes right through. Yes. And it's like, pay attention, folks. This is not working. And so, I mean, but the sore throats everybody's got, you know, during cold and flu season are a real thing. I mean, I don't know about you, but the few times I've had to wear one, it's like I walk away with this sore throat from breathing through a mask. So I just wanted to let you know that, yeah, there's still people out there trying to lose their mind because they are enjoying the Kabuki theater.
Yeah, I have to say there is a lot of masks in Massachusetts. I don't know about other states, but I
Mayor
went to
Wu was wearing one today when she did her press conference.
I went to the grocery store over the weekend, and everyone, I was the only one without a mask. I'm not going to name which store it was, but they don't require it. But every single person had one. And it's so strange because these same people will go to another event and they'll not wear a mask. And, you know, I just go back to what that girl from the news, that student from the news said last week, where she said, like, no, none of this makes any sense and nobody cared. Like, we're all just supposed to go along with it because it makes some people feel good. And listen, if you told me that if I wore a giant bubble and I was the bubble boy, but I was the bubble girl or the bubble birthing person, because that made you feel good, I don't know if I would say, yeah, I'm going to wear a bubble for the rest of my life. I might say, you've got some stuff you got to work out. Leave me out of it. 844-500-4242. When we come back, CNN is teaching kids how to spot misinformation, if you can believe that. Don't go anywhere.